After a rough night, I woke to the sound of pugilism somewhere in the house.
That's it, Francis.
The previous evening, Tony Copeland and his bullet-headed sidekick put the frighteners on me, warning me of awkward questions about Jared Roone's accident and Katrina Selsey's untimely death. The threat of violence had jarred my artiste's nerves, and when I finally hit the sack, I had to self-medicate on scotch till the sleep monkeys carried me away to my happy place. And now I was rudely awoken by Sugar Ray Francis and baby-faced Geraldine boxercising beneath my bedroom. So I crawled out of bed in search of Java's finest magic beans.
The kraken wakes.
I could hardly sleep through the rumble in the jungle.
Geraldine's been putting me through my paces.
Where is she?
Shah, you look rough.
I'll be match fit once I'm recaffeinated. You know, this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed routine's a bit much first thing.
You should try it.
No, thanks.
Makes a change to have another woman in the house.
It takes twice as long to get near the bathroom.
Is the reality of sharing with two women not matching up to the fantasy?
I didn't have a fantasy.
You had a fantasy.
Of course I'd had a fantasy. But like all fantasies, I'd archived it for old age, filed under regrets I've had a few.
I know what plays inside that sordid skull. The lodger and the landlady. Hot flush, middle-aged action.
How does she do that?
I see right in to your shabby soul.
Don't get metaphysical on my ass.
Speaking of which, was I right about Geraldine's tattoo?
The one you accidentally saw when you accidentally stood gawping at her in the shower.
She should have locked the door, and I did not gawp. I glimpsed. The question is, did I glimpse George Eliot on her right buttock?
Yes, you did.
OK, this is awkward.
Try full-blown embarrassing.
As a student, I had a literary crush on Eliot.
Same reason I've got Evelyn Waugh on my pecs.
Seriously?
Of course not. He hasn't got pecs.
Ha ha.
How about you, Francis?
I'm an ink-free zone.
Get a load of these bad boys.
She stretched her top down to reveal two portraits, one on each scapula.
Virginia Woolf on the right, Mary Wollstonecraft on the left.
There, good. Look, Charles.
I was looking, and Geraldine knew it. She'd found my weakness for Bloomsbury and the Age of Enlightenment and was using it to flirt with me in front of Francis.
I've also got Keats on my left thigh.
It's what he would have wanted.
I'll have to be drunk to show you Nancy Astor, and I'm saving Clement Attlee for Christmas.
Coffee?
Please, and strong after last night.
Last night?
Our director dragged me out for a late supper.
He never takes me out to supper.
Oh, Ned spent the whole night bending my ear about Rainbow.
Is this the size 820-something runner-up from Fame's The Game?
Well, actually, Katrina was the runner-up, so Rainbow's the runner-up's runner-up, but Ned thinks the sun shines out of her pot of gold. All he really wanted to do was tell me what a study is pulling a live-action Elsa from Frozen.
That's what they do.
They? I object to being reduced to a gender stereotype.
You spent decades doing that for yourself.
Go, Francis.
Women.
Sexist.
So, Ned bought you dinner just to brag about his latest squeeze.
He'll do anything to keep Rainbow happy, so if I were Millie, I wouldn't get too settled as Ophelia.
I started to wonder how far Ned would go to keep Rainbow. Far enough to murder Katrina Selsey? Time to swing by the one-stop shop for theatrical gossip.
Did you say you've got an appointment?
No, but he'll see me.
Hiya, Pixie. Artemis. Yeah, I know. Yeah, cool. Listen, someone to see Morris? Hang on. Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Paris.
Mr. Parrish.
No, Paris.
Say again?
Paris.
What did I say?
Parrish.
That's right.
No, it's wrong. It's an is, not an ish.
Hang on, Pixie, a bit of a thing.
No, there's no thing. My name's not Parrish, as in late of this parish. It's Paris, like the city.
Which city?
Oh, for sake! Just tell Pixie Charles wants...
Oh, that's all I need.
Morris!
What are you doing here?
Trying to cross the demilitarized zone.
I am not in the mood for clever.
You look awful, and I speak as one who knows awful. Are you ill?
I was out last night
to pick something up.
A colossal bar bill.
You're hungover?
Try to temper your unalloyed glee with a little discretion, Charles.
Come on,
Where?
Put yourself in my hands.
I don't know where they've been.
You need restorative high-octane coffee.
Are you buying?
Deduct it from my next fee.
Ever the optimist. If I'm paying, we'll go to the cafeteria with a K. The barrister knows me.
It's barista.
No, this one was a barrister. There's more money in artisan coffee. Is this what it's like being you?
Not even close.
Bloody Jack Bannum.
That's a name I haven't heard for a while.
Lucky you.
I could tell you a few war stories from the back bar of the Coach and Horses. Well,
save them for the memoirs.
I thought he moved to the States.
Well, he's back. And I think I spent last night with him. Somewhere between yesterday lunchtime and now, I seem to have lost 24 hours.
Even I couldn't keep up with Bannum. He's a certified 100% proof hellraiser.
Yes. You can get away with playing the wild man when you're young, pretty, and turn up to work on time. The Americans put it down to English eccentricity. But once the looks fade, Hollywood's less inclined to excuse the bad behaviour.
Is that why he's back?
Yeah, ostensibly, he's flown in for some family thing, but he's using it as a shopping trip. See if he can pick up his UK career where he unceremoniously dumped it.
Well, if anyone can pick it up for him, you can. After all, you're the agent's agent.
But I don't want to be Bannum's agent. I'm dreading him turning up again. I'm genuinely scared, Charles.
Well, if he does, lock the doors, phone me, and I'll take him out on the lash.
You take the bullet.
For a bit of insider info.
Name it.
Have you taken Million as a client?
Providing I'm still alive, we're having lunch tomorrow. So I should have signed her by pudding. Why the interest?
A little bird tells me that Ned's thinking of replacing her as Ophelia, and I'm worried how she'll react.
Oh, she'll have to learn to roll with the punches. Anyway, stepping in after Katrina's death has been PR gold. I'll soon have casting directors all over her. Why the look?
Hearing you talk about another actor's career makes me wonder what might have been.
Oh, don't go all retrospective on me.
I suppose where there's life, there's hope.
Yeah, hold on to that thought, Charles. I don't think I can hold on to this coffee. Excuse me.
By the time we left, I was pinging off the walls, brain racing, good for thinking, bad for focus, urgently needing alcohol to counter caffeine, and with 7 hours to kill before showtime, I repaired to the French house with Katrina in mind.
One double scotch and a single soda.
Quickly deciding Tony Copeland had too much invested in the show to kill one of his stars, I moved on to further deliberation at the Coach and Horses.
Two double scotches.
Millie had done nicely out of Katrina's death. She was playing Ophelia and keen to keep it that way, but was she keen enough to kill? I went outside for air, but air didn't help, so I detoured to the Crown via the two chairmen for further analysis of suspects.
One quadruple scotch and spicy nuts.
Over an interim pint at the Dog and Duck, Sam was ticked off the list. No motive. And despite her previous arrest for ABH, I'd dismissed Geraldine by the time I left the Glasshouse stores.
One whiskey and soda.
At the John Snow, I'd come full circle to Ned as my main suspect when...
7 o'clock.
The caffeine had worn off by the half-hour call, but as I donned my ghost costume, I realised just how much alcohol I'd drunk.
The artery in this body as hard as the Nemean lion's nerve.
Stand by smoke. Stand by LXQ-12.
Ah! Damn!
Sorry, Wolf.
When our original Hamlet had been injured, our ASM understudy had a brief moment in the spotlight. But now Sam was Hamlet, Will was back in the prompt corner calling cues and giving me evils.
Your fly's undone, Charles.
His head. Whoops.
You all right?
Yeah.
Hay fever.
Pills made me a bit woozy.
LXQ-12, go. Sound, go. Smoke, go.
Yeah.
Charles!
Hmm?
You're on!
Oh, right.
Helmet!
What? Sorry.
Put your helmet on.
Where wilt thou lead me? Speak, I'll go no further.
Mark me.
I will.
My hour is almost come when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Oh. Alas, poor ghost.
Oh, God. Come in.
Hay fever, my arse.
Well, I'm sorry.
Don't play the innocent. You were drunk.
You still are. I can smell it from here.
Well, it was a tiny after-show unwinder.
To top up your pre-show skinful.
Oi, you can't go round.
I may be low in the food chain, but I know a boozer when I see one, and I know what it does.
Listen,
to...
son, when you've been in this business more than 5 minutes, feel free to barge into my dressing room and give a lecture on the evils of drink, but until then...
Keep you... it down or take it outside.
No, I'm sorry, Ned, but
look,
I'm not...
it's been a long night and we're all tired. Go home well. Well, that was a memorable performance.
Well, Hamlet or Wills?
Both.
Just as well you came in when you did.
I hope you weren't going to hit him.
I thought he was going to hit me.
I was tempted to let him.
I take it you were in tonight.
Along with a large party from Beijing, so I don't think they noticed your extravagant improvisations.
Oh, I'm sorry. I promise it won't happen again.
You're lucky Tony wasn't in.
You won't tell him. I'm not his favourite person at the moment.
What have you done now?
I might have suggested that he had something to do with Katrina's death.
Are you stark raving mad? What could he possibly gain from that? And look where it's left us. No disrespect to Millie.
Well, there are rumours circulating about her, too.
What rumours?
Word is you're going to replace Millie with Rainbow.
That's not a rumour about Millie. It's a rumour about me. And the rumour is wrong.
OK.
You don't sound convinced. Is this an insinuation that I had something to do with Katrina's death? Is that what you think?
What?
For God's sake, Charles! Some nutter injected bleach into her mascara. The pain must have been excruciating. If it hadn't killed her, she'd most likely have lost an eye. Is that the sort of sicko you think I am?
No.
Then feel free to go and spread the rumour that Ned English has no intention of replacing, let alone killing, members of his cast. Though much more of this, and I could make an exception in your case.
After that, surely a hair of the dog couldn't do any further harm. But the Furies hadn't finished with me yet.
Is it true Ned's replacing me with his girlfriend?
Well, why don't you ask Ned?
I would, but if it's just a rumour, I don't want to put ideas into his head.
Well, as far as I've heard, you're safe as Ophelia.
What the hell, Charles?
Oh, Sam, I cannot apologise enough. It was stupid and unprofessional, and it'll never happen again.
Shame. It's the most fun I've had since I took over the part. Mm. Not sure what the audience made of the burping ghost, though.
They were too busy wondering why his helmet was back to front.
Oh, no.
Oh, Sam, I managed to get that mascara for you.
Great.
I put it on your dressing room table.
And with that, Millie was back at the top of my list. Maybe I'd watched Hitchcock's Blackmail one time too many, but rattling home, one word pulsed in my head. Mascara. Mascara. Mascara.
Ah, there's my coward.
What have I done now?
Not you. Noel Coward. Designed for a living.
Ah, I wondered whose it was. Are you up for a part?
Just thinking ahead to when we finish Hamlet. I've always wanted to direct it.
If I was 20 years younger, I'd audition.
The young shouldn't have all the fun. You'd make a perfect Leo opposite my Gilda.
Yeah?
Yeah, with someone good for Otto. An older ménage à trois makes a far more interesting love triangle, don't you think?
Yeah.
What time did you get back last night?
About 11:30.
Francis and I were tucked up by then. Not tucked up together.
Oh. No boxer size this morning.
Francis went out early. Unless I can interest you.
Well, I leave the boxing to her.
Tell me to mind my own business, but you and Francis...
What's the deal?
Yeah.
We're semi-detached. I was never exactly husband of the year. Eventually we separated, which was good for her, but hell for me. And then I blew up my bedsit and she let me move back in.
Blowing up your bedsit's an extreme expression of commitment.
Actually, I lit a fag and forgot I'd left the gas on.
Maybe your subconscious left the gas on.
In that case, I owe my subconscious a drink because I temporarily moved back 11 years ago.
I see.
Yeah. There's usually a follow-up question, and the follow-up answer is, yes, we have been known to see other people. But so far, nothing serious. So, here we are.
And here I am.
If I knew exactly what a frisson looked like, I was pretty sure there was a big one throbbing over the kitchen table. Either that or my flirt dar was malfunctioning.
Didn't Millie give you a hard time last night?
She just wanted to find out what I knew about Ned's girlfriend, but he'd already told me Rainbow is not replacing her. I suppose the moral is don't listen to gossip.
However much fun. Anyway, good to see Millie's found her ambition. She clearly wants to hang on to Ophelia.
Do you think she wanted it enough to stop Katrina from keeping it?
Oh, no!
You said yourself she's ambitious.
Ambitious, not psychotic.
When Millie was Katrina's understudy, Katrina treated her like a skivvy. She might have doctored the mascara to give her a jolt.
Even if she hadn't intended murder, that's GBH at the very least, and I should know. Oh, no.
What?
Probably nothing, but the night Katrina died, I was late for a queue and ran slap into Millie going into the number one dressing room. I remember she dropped something and I picked it up.
Mascara?
Yeah. I mean, hardly copper-bottom evidence.
No. What?
You've got your serious face on.
Have I? Sorry.
Don't be. I like it.
The frisson was back, and this time there was no doubt Geraldine was waiting for my next move. In my experience, these things can go very well or very wrong. I leaned towards her.
Right, I've got some shopping to do. Anything for you?
No, thanks.
Oh, Charles.
Mm-hmm.
You don't happen to know if Francis is seeing anyone at the moment?
We live, we never learn. After the previous night's pandemonium, I arrived at the theatre early, sober, and clutching a bottle of mineral water to prove to Will, Sam and Millie that I could be as boringly virtuous as their generation.
Hi, Charles. Kettle's boiled in my room. Fancy a cup?
I don't suppose you've got herbal.
Is your ginger zinger strong enough?
You could trot a mouse on that, as my mum used to say. I'm surprised you haven't moved to a bigger dressing room.
Oh, Katrina's is still out of bounds. And even if Ned doesn't replace me, Tony could recast me at any time.
My agent has every confidence in your future. I hope he took you somewhere nice for lunch.
How did you know?
I know when Morris changes his monogrammed sheets.
Have you been with him long?
He got me my first professional job. Oedipus Rex.
What? The national production?
The original. I got Sophocles to sign my script. I'm so pleased you've been given this break.
I keep pinching myself.
Difficult, though, under the circumstances.
Oh, I still feel guilty about it. I mean, what happened to Katrina's nothing to do with me, but, you know.
Millie was either a liar of Olympic standard or as innocent as those big blue eyes. Time to push a little harder.
If you want my advice, keep your head down and ignore backstage gossip.
What gossip?
Oh, just stupid stuff. Forget it.
Charles?
No, ignore me.
What have people been saying?
Someone said they'd seen you going into Katrina's dressing room the night she died and you had a tube of mascara.
But that's horrible. Do people really think I'd do something like that?
Like I say, just gossip.
Well, you don't believe it, do you?
Me?
Yes. Oh, I went into the number one dressing room like I did every other night, but it curtained up. It was Sam's room. How was I to know Katrina had moved all her stuff during the show?
Well, what about the mascara?
It was for Sam. He's so blonde, his eyelashes don't read on stage, and he gets so emotional with you in the battlement scene, he needs to freshen up his makeup.
Tragically, I can pass for Hamlet's dead father without too much assistance.
I was just putting a fresh tube in his dressing room, or what I thought was his dressing room. You do believe me, don't you, Charles? I love playing Ophelia, but not enough to kill someone.
Once again, I stared. And once again, not a scintilla of guilt in those big blue eyes. Struggling into my first costume of the evening, I realised the previous night's shenanigans had left their mark on the ghost's headgear.
She called me Mr. Boombastic. She said me very fantastic.
Well, either you're delusional or she's very easily pleased.
Oh, I'll have to put you on speakerphone while I adjust my spectral helmet.
A phrase I won't be Googling. I've had a bit of a weird conversation with Geraldine.
Snap.
This was about our relationship.
Snap again. I'll say one thing, she doesn't hang about.
How do you feel about it?
She's got
good taste.
Is there no limit to your vanity?
What vanity? It's a compliment to you.
A compliment to me that Geraldine fancies you?
She doesn't fancy me. She fancies you, or that's very much the impression she gave me.
She gave me precisely the opposite when she asked about our relationship.
What did you tell her?
The truth. That we'd separated, that you blew up your flat, have been freeloading off me ever since, and that we've seen other people, but not seriously.
Exactly what I said, apart from the freeloading bitch. Then she asked if you were seeing anyone at the moment.
Ditto.
Design for Living.
What?
She was talking to me about Coward's Play.
I don't know it.
Well, all you need to know is that it's about a menage a trois.
Well done, Charles.
What?
This is precisely what you wanted all along.
What?
Your X-rated interior life is one thing, but you can count me out of whatever trialistic fantasy you've been planning.
I'm incapable of planning anything. My entire life has been stumbling from one accident to another.
You're not accidentally stumbling into a threesome with me and Geraldine.
Frances.
You may find her attractive, but she doesn't float my boat. And if I was going to swing, I'd have swung long ago. And I'm certainly not doing it with you and your friend. Not with my back. And especially not now they've invented box sets and 70% cocoa solid chocolate. Charles.
Remember I put you on speakerphone?
Hello, Frances.
Geraldine.
I was in need of calming stimulants, but after the previous night's fracas, I'd forsworn pre-show booze. I hadn't said anything about tobacco.
Oh. I need help, Charles.
Have you forgotten your safe word again?
He's here.
Where?
Outside my apartment.
Who?
Benham. He's here. He's drunk. He wants to make me drunk. I'm scared to leave my panic room.
I didn't know you had a panic room.
It's an airing cupboard, but I use it at moments of heightened anxiety. The soothing smell of freshly laundered linen transports me back to my mother's bidomoir, armoire.
What a rich hinterland you have.
You said you'd take the bullet.
I will, after the show.
But he's here now. Oh, God. Can't breathe.
You're hyperventilating.
Telling me what I'm doing doesn't make it stop.
Put a pair of freshly laundered underpants over your head, breathe slowly and count to 10.
Hi, Charles.
Will, about last night.
Let's forget about it. Anyway, better crack on.
You still alive, Morris?
9, 10. Oh. Thank you, Charles. That helped.
Always works for me.
I never think of you as freshly laundered.
Any pant in a storm?
And Banham's gone. Sorry about the panic, but I got a text saying, you, me, pre-theatre snifter, and I freaked out.
Quite right. A Banham snifter is a regular person's 48-hour bender.
Yeah, it's because of booze he's over here, trying to salvage what's left of his relationship with his son.
He's got a son?
Well, you're working with him. Will Portman.
Jack's real name is Portman.
Jack's real name is Nigel. But there was already a Nigel Portman in Equity, so he went for something butch to suit the image and the roles he was getting. Anyway, whatever the name, keep out of his orbit.
Well, I'm not likely to run into him.
Yes, you are.
What?
He's coming to see Will playing Hamlet.
But Sam's playing Hamlet.
But that's what I kept telling him. But he was drunk and adamant that Will's going on tonight.
Well, no one here has mentioned it. Is Sam ill?
I don't know. His phone's off.
Oh. No. Like three bells in a fruit machine, my head filled with the clatter of pennies dropping.
Charles?
Sorry, Morris. I've got to go.
But I did.
All this time I'd been wondering who hated Katrina, when I should have realised she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. The door to number one dressing room was ajar, but the room was dark, so either Sam wasn't in there or I was too late. I took a deep breath and went inside. Fortunately, my ghostly helmet stood up to the impact of whatever had been brought down onto it. A fist to my solar plexus, then my assailant made to escape, but I gasped enough breath to pull him away from the door.
You're not going anywhere.
Hey, don't! Please don't hit me!
Still wounded, I blocked the door with my back and switched on the overhead light. Will was slumped in Sam's armchair where I'd pushed him.
Charles.
Shut up.
You don't understand.
I understand more than you think.
What's going on in there?
Hang on, Sam.
What are you doing in there, Charles?
I saw a rat and I've got it cornered.
I need to get into costume.
Give me 5 minutes. Go to Millie's room.
This is ridiculous.
He doesn't know the half of it. Were you planning to kill Sam too, or just hospitalise him like Jared?
Jared? I didn't touch him, I swear.
It was worth a shot to confirm what I already half knew and Tony Copeland good as owned up to.
But it worked out well for you, though, didn't it? Unknown understudy steps into lead role. Famous dad flies in to see his son take West End by storm. Were they the headlines you imagined?
It wasn't like that.
Then Sam Newton Reed enters stage left and everything goes belly up till you had the brainwave to doctor his mascara.
I didn't think it would do any real harm.
Oh, really?
I just wanted him out of the way for a bit.
You didn't bargain for Katrina moving into Sam's dressing room halfway through the show.
Of course I didn't.
She's dead because of you.
It was an accident.
No, Will. Tripping over is an accident. Trying to hurt one person and killing another is murder.
I just wanted to show my old man I could do it. You know, he walked out on me when I was four.
So do a lot of feckless dads.
But they don't keep reappearing on billboards and the sides of buses and 30-foot-high cinema screens.
Oh, get over yourself.
I just wanted to show the great I am. I could do it too, and I didn't need him.
Sorry, Will, listening to your self-pity is above my pay grade.
What's money got to do with anything?
Spoken like a trust fund kid. Tell it to the Met. They love to hear the story of your life. I'll wait for the audio book.
I got through the show on autopilot, scared to look Geraldine in the eye. Unlike the previous night, Gertrude had no trouble ignoring the ghost. I just wished I could remain invisible when I got home.
She doesn't have to move out tonight.
She's hardly going to stay after my phone rang.
I hate scenes.
There doesn't have to be a scene.
Great, I'll be down the drummer monkey. Phone me when she's gone.
Don't even think about it.
I've got a taxi.
You know, I'm sure this has all been a bit of a misunderstanding.
Yeah, which bit did I misunderstand? The bit about you not finding me attractive? Or the bit about you preferring box sets and 70% chocolate to the idea of sex with me?
If it helps, I think you're attractive.
Shut up.
Don't tell him to shut up.
Ah, the little woman speaks up.
How dare you?
So bohemian in your semi-detached, suburban, middle English marriage. Vanilla through and through.
I like vanilla.
Time you left.
I'm going.
Not quickly enough.
I'll give you a hand.
Don't touch my stuff. Step away from the bag.
Yeah, I'm only...
I won't tell you again.
Whoa! Get away from him, you bitch!
You want a piece of me?
Bring it on!
I think that's your taxi. Oh, so, that happened.
Seemed to.
Yeah. Feel free to drop the huffing and puffing.
I'm keyed up.
Keyed up? You weren't going to hit her.
I was.
Come on, it's play boxing.
I could take you down.
I don't think. Although, I've got to say, this alpha female act is strangely arousing.
Arousing?
Oh, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Easily 9.5.
That high?
Yeah. And rising.
I could still take you down.
Whatever you say.
Whoa! Ow! What do you say?
Ow.
In episode 4 of A Decent Interval, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Geraldine was Amelia Bullmore, Will, Keelan McCarthy, Millie, Rebecca Hamilton, Sam, George Watkins, Ned, Brian Protheroe, and Artemis, Evie Killip. A Decent Interval was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.